Okay, we are in a series called The Chosen Ones. Let's review a little bit. Our big thing number one, let's read. I do not need to understand the Lord's mysterious ways in order to choose to live a life which gives Him glory and praise. That is so true. We don't have to understand how God works and how He moves. But we are told enough. We are on a need-to-know basis, and He tells us what we need to know. Okay, let's read. God chooses those who choose Jesus, and He sets us apart for a special relationship with Him, both now and forever. Aren't those beautiful words, now and forever? So when we choose to be chosen, He sets us apart, makes us holy. I have a special relationship with you, and I have a special purpose for you, now and forever. Then from last Sunday, we came up with this. Ready? The longer I live in this world, the more I do not belong. I am a stranger in a foreign land, and being here seems wrong. I've never seen my true home, but cannot wait to get there to add my voice to countless others, God's praise to declare. We are aliens and strangers in the world. So, tomorrow morning, Monday, you go to the post office or to your mailbox and you go through your usual assortment of junk mail, bills. Did I say junk mail, bills? I said, okay. So you go through all that stuff, but you see it. You see this. You see something different. In the midst of your bills and your junk mail, you see an invitation. An invitation, you know, you can tell those envelopes. And so, you open it and you wonder, okay, who is doing what, where, why, when, and with whom? And you open it up and it's a wedding invitation and it's for August 31st, Saturday, August 31st at 2:00 at the First Free Will Apostolic, Pentecostal, Charismatic, Independent, Assembly of God, Christian Church. That's where it's going to be. So you think, well, I'm not too sure about this. And that's still a pretty good long ways away. A lot can happen between now and then. And I think I've got something going on August 31st. Yes, I'm going to begin that long to-do list that I've accumulated, this list of stuff for the past 5 years. I'm going to start on that on Saturday, August 31st. And besides, maybe old Aunt Bee from Mayberry might stop in and see me. So you pretty much decided, you choose, I'm not going to go. August 31st comes around. You're not doing your to-do list. Aunt Bee did not stop by to see you. Rather, you're sitting in your favorite chair with a glass of iced tea and a bowl of popcorn. And you're watching the first day of the college football season. And on TV, the West Virginia Mountaineers are playing James Madison. Yeah, the one from Harrisonburg. That's a trap game. You're thinking, West Virginia should not have scheduled this game. It's a trap game. And so, just as they're about to kick off, somebody knocks at your door. And it's not one of these little... It's a knock. Well, that startles you a little bit, but you keep an eye on the TV and you make your way to the door. And you open the door and you see two of the biggest, ugliest men you've ever seen in your life. I mean, they are ugly and they're big and they're mean looking. They growl at you. Did you receive a wedding invitation for today at 2:00? At the First Free Will Apostolic Pentecostal Charismatic Independent Assembly of God Christian Church? Whew. And you go, yes, I did. How did you know? And they say, then why are you still here? Why aren't you at the wedding? And you go, well, I wasn't planning on going. Said, we're going now. Get your gift and go. Well, I didn't get a gift. That's all right. Get your checkbook. You're going to write a big check. A big check. And they drag you, physically drag you from your home to the wedding, which takes place at the First Free Will Apostolic Pentecostal Charismatic Independent Assembly of God Christian Church. And they force you to sit there. Don't you hate when that happens? When people force you to do things? Well, that hasn't happened to you, has it? When you get an invitation, no matter if it's a wedding or a graduation or a party, you are free to choose whether or not you will go or stay home. We have the freedom of choice. You know what Jesus says about this? Well, let's go to Matthew chapter 22. If you're using your pew Bible, page 699. What we are about to read is the third of three stories that Jesus tells. And he tells these stories to the self-righteous religious types of the day. Whenever Jesus taught, there was usually two groups of people. Those that were against him because they were hoping to trip him up and find a basis to accuse him. And then those who loved him. And so in the crowd, as he's teaching, I think there are both groups. But the Bible says that there are Pharisees there, and you know, they don't really like Jesus, and they were teachers of the law, and all of these religious types. And Jesus was telling stories to try to communicate to them what the kingdom of heaven is like. And so we come to this third story in this series, and this is what he says. The kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven is like. And you know what? We're actually told in the Bible a lot about what the kingdom of heaven is like. Jesus tells several stories that begin with those words. Well, what is the kingdom of heaven like, Jesus? Tell us. The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come. But they refused to come. So, when a king threw a wedding banquet for his son in Bible days, it was a big deal. And from what we see in this story, it appears that the official invitations, if you will, had already been given out, delivered. And now the king actually sends royal messengers to those who had been invited to tell them, all right, we're ready, come. Come to the wedding banquet. Come to the feast. But those last words in verse 3 are terrible words. But they refused to come. They are refusing a great honor. They refuse to come. Well, what does the king do now? He gives them another chance. Verse 4. Then he sent some more servants and said, tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been butchered. Everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet. So he tries again. This gracious king tries again to get those that have been invited to come to the feast. What do they do? Verse 5. But they paid no attention. Paid no attention. The king sends for the second time his royal messengers to announce to you, it's time. Come to the wedding banquet. They paid no attention. They're indifferent. They don't care. Apathetic. But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. So you have a farmer. So you have farmers here. They decide, I have to go work in my fields. And then some businessman, I've got to go tend my business. They paid no attention to the invitation. Well, it gets worse. Verse 6. The rest, that is the rest of those who have been invited, seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. Man, these are some mean folks. To kill the king's messengers. Perhaps you've figured this out already. That there is a story within this story that Jesus is trying to communicate. God, for hundreds of years, had sent his messengers to the Jewish people to announce the kingdom of God, to preach a message of repentance, to come back to the covenant that was made. And time again, they paid no attention. They went about their business, and sometimes they killed the prophets. All right, getting back to this story, what does the king do? What does he do about this? Verse 7, the king was enraged. Of course. I mean, they went too far in how they rejected the invitation. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Righteous retribution, just judgment. The king cannot let this go unpunished. And it was quite common in those days for kings to send armies to burn down cities. About 40 years after Jesus tells this story, the mighty Roman army surrounded Jerusalem and burned it to the ground. A little bit of prophecy in this story. So, this is what the king does now. Verse 8. Then the king said to his servants, "The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. Go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find." Well, that's pretty good, isn't it? Can you imagine? You're going about your daily business. You're standing there. All you wanted to do is go out and buy some fruit. And the next thing that you know, you're invited to a royal wedding banquet. You didn't plan on this. The king's messengers come through town. And they invite everybody who's milling around the marketplace, by the well, walking down the street. They invite all of these people to come to the wedding banquet. That's what it says in verse 10. So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, both good and bad. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. So the king decides that he wants to mingle with these people, which was a high honor for the people to have the king come and be among them. And notice verse 11. But when the king came to see the guests, he noticed a man. A man, one man. He noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. What's the big deal? He's not getting married, right? Wedding clothes. Special garments. Friend, verse 12. Friend, he asked, how did you get in here without wedding clothes? The man was speechless. What's the big deal here? We'll get to that in a few minutes. Then the king told the attendants, verse 13, tie him hand and foot, throw him outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Wow, that seems harsh. All because this man is not properly dressed? There's more to the story, of course, than a man simply showing up not properly dressed. We'll get into that in a few minutes. So Jesus tells this story about a king who throws a wedding banquet. He invites certain people. They refused to come. They choose to refuse. They don't pay attention. They go off and they do this and they do that, and then some of them mistreat the servants and kill them. Then the king sends his messengers out into the streets to invite anyone and everyone. Jesus brings this story to an end with these words. You might say this is the big thing in this parable. For many are invited, but few are chosen. Some translations say many are called, but few are chosen. Same thing. Well, this is some story. Jesus tells this parable in the temple courts, and as I said earlier, there are two groups of people there, those who love Jesus and those who hate Jesus. And those who hate Jesus are trying to find reason to accuse him, to trip him up, and even to arrest him. But Jesus doesn't back down, and he keeps telling these stories, hoping that they'll get what he means. And some do and some don't. Some are too hard-headed to. And then those who do figure out, he's talking about us, they get even angrier at Jesus. So the kingdom of heaven is like this, Jesus says. A king issuing invitations. And people can choose whether to accept the invitations or reject the invitations. The king in this story, of course, is God. In the Bible, Jesus is called the bridegroom. And we, the church, are the bride. And so this is very consistent with the New Testament teaching about the relationship God has with people because of what Jesus has done. And we who are his church are brought into this kingdom relationship with God. We choose to be chosen. Some choose to refuse. And those words, they refuse to come, they refuse to come, are just terrible words. Well, why do they refuse? Why do they choose to refuse? Well, I've got three ideas on this. Number one, some of them are just busy. Verse 5. If you are too busy to accept an invitation from God, you're too busy. But in the story, you see that. They hear the invitation at least twice. The king sends special messengers to them at least twice. They pay no attention. And some go off to their fields and some go off to their places of business. It seems to me that, at least in their own minds, I'm just too busy to worry about this. If you're too busy to worry about the kingdom of God, you're just too busy. Their lives are too crowded. Their priorities are all wrong. They serve other gods. And they choose this way of life. So the question is, why are only a few chosen? Because only a few choose to be chosen. And many choose to be too busy. Well, there's another reason. Some are just wicked. Just plain out evil. I mean, sometimes you can't explain wickedness. That's the thing about evil, wickedness. It doesn't make sense and you can't explain it sometimes. I mean, how can you explain people who've been invited to a wedding killing the messengers, other than some people are just that wicked, that mean, that evil? Perhaps they have lived their lives in such a way, they made so many choices, a series of choices, a series of bad choices, that they're at a point where the Bible describes God giving them over to a depraved mind. Maybe they are beyond the point of no return. I don't know. But something is really wrong with these people to kill the servants who bring a message, come to the wedding feast. I believe today there are some souls just too wicked. But it's a result of a series of choices that brought them to that point in life. So why are only a few chosen in this story? Because only a few choose to be chosen. And some of them are just too wicked. Now there's one more category I see here. Some are arrogant. We see this in verses 11 and 12. Now we go back to this one man who represents a whole lot of people, but this one man who somehow is here and he's not properly attired. And the king notices. I don't know how many guests were there. Let's say there were 1,000 people there. I mean, this was a big thing. And let's say it was 1,000 people. The king comes down and he mingles with all of the guests and he sees the one. Maybe because the one sort of stood out like a sore thumb. He sees this one man and he's not properly dressed. Friend, how did you get in here without wedding clothing? And he couldn't answer. Okay, here we go. It is believed that in Bible days that kings actually provided wedding garments for guests to wear. In other words, they had a dress code. Well, that's not uncommon even today. Sometimes you go to a restaurant and you see a sign, no shirt, no shoes, no service, right? And then there are other places where you do have to be pretty dressed up. And perhaps if you walk in and let's say you don't have a sports jacket on, they might have some sports jackets in the back that they will loan you to wear so that you'll be properly attired for their business establishment. This guy gets in and he's not properly dressed. He bypassed whatever the king wanted his people to do. Here's the thing I believe it comes down to. This guy tried to get into the wedding feast on his own terms. Everybody else got into the wedding feast according to the king's terms. This guy tried it on his own terms. The arrogance of the man to try something like this. And he got caught. And he paid a price. There are many people today, I believe, who are trying to get into the kingdom of God on their own terms, their own righteousness. What I find really interesting here is this. We're told in the book of Galatians that those of us who've been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Christ is seen as a garment to put on. We are dressed in His righteousness. Too many are trying to get into heaven by bypassing Jesus. There are other ways to heaven. There are other prophets. There are other saviors. There are other gods. No, there's not. This man got caught trying to cheat his way in to heaven. It may very well be that we all know souls that fall into one of these three categories. Too busy to be bothered, too wicked to care, and too arrogant to admit their need for God and to accept God's gracious invitation on God's terms. In all probability, before you became a Christian, before I became a Christian, we were in one of these categories, perhaps. Okay, here's our big thing from this story. Let's read. Many are invited, but few are chosen to receive so great a salvation because only a few choose to be chosen by accepting God's invitation. There's a man named John. And John was a well-liked man, very, very much respected in his community. You might say he was a pillar in his community. A loving father, a devoted husband. And he even faithfully attended church services. For over 20 years this was going on. But John had never chosen to be chosen. He never would confess Jesus. Never would follow Him in baptism. John got cancer. And sometimes God gets our attention that way. I'm not saying that's the way it happens all the time, but in his case, this is the way it happened. And dying of cancer, John finally made his choice. He later said, If I'd only known years ago how much better it is to be on the inside looking out than on the outside looking in. But John did finally choose to be chosen. Contrast that story with this one. Bill and Sally confessed to a certain pastor how empty their lives were. Like they had no reason. A lot of people don't admit that. They may feel it inside, but they can never bring themselves to actually admit it. But they did. They admitted it. In fact, Sally said, "It would be hell to go on living like this." Well, Bill was scheduled for surgery. The pastor stopped by for a visit. And they continued to talk about their previous conversation, about how unhappy Bill was. And the pastor said, "You know, Bill, it doesn't have to be this way. You can find reason and purpose in your life. You can find the joy that you're missing. And you know where? In Jesus Christ." Bill paused for a moment and then said, "Yeah, preacher, but you gotta wanna. You got to want to." And he didn't. Now the story goes that a few years later, Bill was killed in an accident in California. And as far as the pastor knows, he never wanted to follow Christ. Because after all, you gotta wanna. Jesus offers an invitation to all of us, doesn't he? This is a beautiful passage of Scripture. It has comforted so many souls at so many times. Let's read. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Many are chosen, or many are called, but few are chosen. When Jesus finished this story about the wedding banquet, the Bible says that the Pharisees went out and laid plans to trap him in his words. Of course, they tried that many times, and they always came up short. Other times, they plotted to kill Jesus for what he said and what he did. Finally, they were able to do that. Not because they outsmarted Jesus or overpowered Jesus. It was God's plan for Jesus to die for the sins of the world. Jesus himself said, "I laid down my life. No one takes it from me." But they thought they had him, you see. They thought they finally killed Jesus. How did that work out for them? Not very good, huh? Let's pray. As we said earlier, Lord, we may not be able to understand your mysterious ways and how you work in people's lives in the area of salvation. Why do some people choose to be chosen? Others choose to refuse. That's a mystery beyond our understanding. We can see in this story that some were simply too busy, some were too wicked, some too arrogant. And I would imagine that's generally true today. And there may be a whole bunch of other reasons as well. But Lord, we thank you that you were so patient with us to give us the number of opportunities that we needed to choose to be chosen, to say yes, to want to become a Christian. And too many do refuse, but we thank you that we accepted. And may we never take your grace for granted. We chose to be part of your chosen people. We brought our busyness and our wickedness and our arrogance and all the other sins, and you nailed them to the cross. with Jesus Christ. And we were born again. Once we were not a people, but now we are your people. We are indeed a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a chosen people. Please, Father, help us through the ministry of your Holy Spirit. Help us to live like chosen ones. In Jesus we pray this. Amen. Please stand up.
Lord, bless us and keep us. Lord, make His face shine upon us and be gracious to us. Lord, turn His face toward us and give us peace.